Blake Bortles has been the starter since his rookie year 3 years ago, but after last night's loss to the Buccaneers, Chad Henne will now share first-team reps.
Brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, get to JCPenney today for Levi's lowest prices of the season. Find select styles like Levi's 514 straight fit for $39.99 and 511 slim fit for $41.99. Deals like this won't last long. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
It's time for some straight talk. Those big wireless companies love to dangle a low price in front of you.
That's all you see on TV these days, all their so-called great deals.
But then, out of nowhere, they hit you with these activation charges and mystery fees.
That's a line drive right to the family jewel.
There you go, and it's not over. Then they nail you with data overages every month.
Good luck walking those off.
That's why you should just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. They have all the best phones from top brands for a whole lot less every month and without all the mystery fees and overages.
Okay, but what's the coverage like?
Straight Talk uses the exact same 4G LTE wireless networks that the big guys do.
Sounds like it might be time to switch to Straight Talk.
Best phones, best networks for a whole lot less.
And you don't have to wear a cup.
Unlimited plans start at $45 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on. NASCAR News now.
This is the race that everyone looks forward to all season long. We're talking Saturday night under the lights, Bristol Motor Speedway at the world's fastest half mile. Oh man, beating and banging at Bristol. It's a 0.533 mile oval, banking up to 28 degrees. Front and back stretches are equidistant at 650 feet. Stages look like this, 125, 250, and of course the checkered flag at 500 laps. 266.5 miles in case you're doing some math. Last year's winner was Kevin Harvick and earlier this year was Jimmy Johnson. Check out all the action Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on the Big Dog, NBC. Ryan Blaney is on and he's looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of redemption. I thought our car was really, really fast there in the spring and we had that power steering issue and it took us out of the race. So hopefully we don't have that problem this go around. And the night race is one of my favorites. It's always been a personal favorite of mine. It's one I vividly remember as a kid growing up and watching my dad race and always going to the night race at Bristol. So it's going to be really special, and to be my last start there with the Wood Brothers is going to be really special as well. I feel like Bristol over the past couple years we've been so fast at, and we haven't gotten the finishes that we deserve at all. Just things go wrong and getting caught up in wrecks or parts failing. So hopefully we can just have a smooth race and get the finish we deserve, and it'd be really cool to win the night race. That would be definitely up there on my bucket list.
The Final Lap.
JCPenney's Power Penny Days are back this Thursday through Sunday. Get great deals for the whole family on select items for just $5, $7, and $9. Plus, take an extra 15% off with your coupon on select items throughout the store and at jcp.com. And Saturday only, don't miss the coupon giveaway. You could score a 10 off $10 coupon. Hurry, in-store only. Power Penny Days end Sunday. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Coupon valid 8/17 to 8/20 on select items in-store and at jcp.com. Coupon giveaway available while supplies last. Must be 18 or older. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
High efficiency, high performance, high tech. The next generation of appliances at the Home Depot is everything except high priced. Because right now you can save up to 25% on top brands like LG, KitchenAid, GE, and Samsung. These appliances are loaded with features that make them smarter, more efficient, and easier to use, and now easier to afford. Nobody beats our prices, guaranteed. So upgrade your appliances today and save up to 25%. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details, valid through August 23rd.
Welcome back in. It's 5:05. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show continuing from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Stop on in. We're here until 7 o'clock tonight. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com along with me today. And joining us now on the phone is the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Phil Steele. And Phil, the only beef I have with your magazine every year is it shows up in the mail here at the KGYM studios, and it never makes its way to my office. It always gets pilfered before I get my hands on it.
Yeah, that is a problem. And, you know, another one that it has is it sells out at the newsstands too early, and people say they go out to the newsstands to get it maybe 3 weeks after it goes on sale, and they're all gone. So it's a nice problem to have, though.
Very nice. And, of course, there's still philsteele.com where you can go and get all the information that's in the magazine as well as some other great content online. Let's go ahead and dive in here. What's this time of year like for you? Because the magazine's been put to bed. Football season's still a couple weeks away from kicking off. What's Phil Steele doing on a day like today?
Well, today you caught me doing NFL power ratings, so I'm going through and finalizing my final sets of five power ratings for the NFL. But basically, the months of June, July, and then early August is basically radio season for me. Like you said, the magazine's done. I'm pretty much all prepped for the season already, maybe catch up on all the reading and kick back, work maybe 50, 60 hours a week. It's almost like being on vacation.
So let's talk a little bit about the Iowa Hawkeyes. You're number 19 for Kirk Ferentz in Iowa City. The preview is exhaustive, as always. I've covered this team for almost 20 years, and I learn something new about the Hawkeyes every time I read your magazine. What do you think about Kirk Ferentz's team this year?
I like the team itself. The thing I don't like about Iowa this year is the schedule. But going through the team, you know, it's an interesting quarterback battle. I think Nathan Stanley's going to prevail and be that QB. He's got what you want at 6'5", 205 pounds. He's got the best arm back there. Weegers probably has a little bit better understanding of the offense at this point, but I think eventually Stanley wins out. Love the running back core. I mean, with Wadley back there and then adding in a guy like James Butler, who is Nevada's top running back, they are loaded at that position. Receivers, they get back Matt Vandenberg, a guy who was their top receiver heading into last year and then basically missed the season with injury. The rest of the receiving core untested. The offensive line looks to be, you know, last year was voted the best in the country, won the Joe Moore Award. This year, the unit returns almost intact, so that'll be a strength. Up front on the defense, you know, Matt Nelson at defensive end, budgeted at the defensive tackle spot, very solid. Linebacking core, one of the best in the country, led by Josie Jewell. Probably the biggest question mark on the team would be the secondary for Iowa, which loses some big-time players like Desmond King and Greg Maben, and that would be my biggest area of concern talent-wise. But then you look at that schedule, you know, drawing Ohio State and Penn State out of the East and then getting them both at home, they could very well be an underdog in both those games. And that means a lot of the winnable games, Michigan State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Nebraska, those games are all on the road this year. So the schedule has me a little down on Iowa. But I'll preface it with this. Last year I was down on Wisconsin because of their schedule. As it was, they played six top 10 teams, and there they were in the Big Ten title game.
New offensive coordinator for Kirk Ferentz this year, and Brian Ferentz, do you expect any major changes on the offensive side of the ball?
No, I do not. I think it'll be pretty much business as usual on the offense. Naturally, every offense coordinator wants to pin his hat on something a little different, but this will be your typical Iowa offense this year.
It seems to me that Iowa has its best seasons when it has a really good offensive line and a really good defensive line, and that sort of is setting up to be the case this year.
Yeah, I've got them rated by one of the top 20 offensive lines in the country, one of the top 20 defensive lines. And then when you throw in that linebacking core as well, I mean, that's one of the best linebacking units in the entire country. This is a team that is definitely, talent-wise, got the talent where you want it, and along the line of scrimmage and a linebacker.
Phil Steele joining us on the Todd Brommelkamp Show here for a few more minutes. Let's go ahead. We know all about the Hawkeyes here in Eastern Iowa. What about the rest of the Big Ten West? Who do you like this season?
Well, I like Wisconsin, and to me, they've got the talent and the schedule to perhaps even run the table. When you look at Wisconsin this year, they've got six starters back on defense. They did suffer a big loss with Jack Citchie getting injured and being out for the year, but they're still pretty deep on the defensive side. Offensively, I think the run game will be the most effective it's been under Chris. They have a big offensive line. And then you got to like their schedule. Unlike Iowa, they avoid Ohio State. They avoid Penn State. And their toughest game out of the East, Michigan, they get Michigan at home, and it's the week before Michigan plays Ohio State. So it's a really good situation for them this year. I think the Badgers have a chance of actually running the table, including that Iowa game that they get at home. Their biggest contender probably going to be Northwestern this year. Eight starters back on offense, including Clayton Thorson and Justin Jackson. That's a quarterback and running back. Offensive line looks solid, and defensively, eight starters back as well, including Igwebuke at the safety spot. They do have, of the remaining teams in the West, they've got a schedule like Wisconsin, where they avoid most of the big boys out of the East. They get Penn State at home this year. Nebraska's in a situation much like Iowa. They have to play Ohio State at home. They have to play Penn State on the road. They're going through a major change. You want to talk about a major change on offense, Nebraska's got that for you. They've had Tommy Armstrong, more of a running quarterback the last couple of years. Mike Riley wants to throw the football. He's got a passing quarterback now in Tanner Lee, 6'4", 220, one of the top guys for the NFL draft next year. You're going to see them throw the football quite a bit more. And defensively, they had a guy in Bob Diaco who steps in. I thought Diaco did a great job defensively when he was at Notre Dame, did a great job at Connecticut defensively. He's got six returning starters. I think their defense will be pretty solid. But as I said, like Iowa, they play a tougher schedule. And then the dark horse would be Minnesota. And anytime you get a new head coach like Minnesota does, you want to have good early season success. And if they do, generally the team will buy into what the coach is selling. And guess what? They play Buffalo at Oregon State, Middle Tennessee, Maryland at Purdue, Michigan State at home, Illinois at home. It's a team that could be favored in their first seven games this year. That would give them a lot of confidence to when the schedule really toughens up. They'll probably be an underdog in each of the last five games this year, but they might be playing a very confident bunch and could be one of those dark horse contenders in the West.
Yeah, it's not your typical team with a first-year head coach. They won nine games a year ago. I want to ask you about P.J. Fleck, though, because I know you caught up with him yesterday. Are you a believer in P.J. Fleck?
You know, I'll tell you this. Back when he was at Western Michigan, after the first year he was there, I was thinking, oh, this is all gimmicks and this row the boat stuff. And then I talked to Coach Fleck the second year and the third year. And guess what? You know, this guy really is he's a fundamentalist. He does have all the slogans and things, but he firmly believes in everything. He's a good teacher. And if he gets the kids believing, they can be pretty powerful. Last year I had him right at the top of those group of five teams contending for the New Year's Day slot. He got him there. And if he can get this Minnesota team behind him and believing, I think he can do wonders there at Minnesota. And what a great schedule to start off the year. Now, I'll tell you this. He does have 50 freshmen talking to him yesterday. The offensive line, a little bit of a weak spot coming into the year. And linebacking, you know, they're going to line up in a 4-3, but you're going to see a lot of linebackers on the field this year. You might see four or five linebackers at a time because that is the strength of the defense is the linebacking core. Little concerned with the secondary. Most of the guys are gone. Guys do have starts, but they were mostly backups last year. Those would be the weak spots, offensive line and secondary. But he's got some talent and the schedule to start off pretty strong.
So shift over to the Big Ten East a little bit. You were either the most popular man in Michigan or the most hated man in Michigan this year, but you think Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines may be a little bit overrated.
Yeah, when you look at Michigan, I like the talent. You go to the front of the magazine, and I've got them rated in all eight of my position talent ratings, which is unusual for a team that only returns five starters like they do. Generally, if you return five starters, you might be ranked in four or five of the position categories, but they're in all eight. Like the defensive line, for example, you know, they lose all four starters, so they're in trouble, right? Well, actually, they got Rashawn Gary, my number one rated defensive lineman out of high school last year, had plenty of action last season. Maurice Hurst turned down the NFL. He was a backup last year, but at 4.5 sacks, 7 TFL, turns down the NFL. He's back. Those guys are both All-American possibilities on the defensive line. I think they still have a top-10 defensive line. But Michigan also plays a tough schedule. It's not only who they play, but where they play them and when they play them. For example, they open up with Florida in Arlington. Now, when you have an inexperienced team, generally there's a learning curve right off the bat. They've got to play a pretty good Florida team right out of the box. I think that's a tough situation. Later, they go on a road trip to Indiana, and the very next week they travel again to Penn State. Penn State, meanwhile, fresh off a bye. Tremendous situation for Penn State. It'll be a whiteout situation at night, same situation they upset Ohio State in last year. They play Wisconsin on the road this year, the week before they play Ohio State. I don't want to, if I'm Michigan, it's tough concentrating the week before Ohio State. They've got to go and face one of the toughest teams in the Big Ten on the road the week prior, and then, of course, play Ohio State. They could very well end up, an underdog in as many as three or four games this year.
Continuing our chat with college football guru Phil Steele for a few more minutes, assuming Ohio State is the favorite in the East this year, which team can you see giving them a legitimate challenge, if any?
I think Penn State could, but I'm not wild about where that game is played and when that game is played. And Penn State not only has to travel to Columbus this year, an Ohio State team that's waiting for revenge, but Penn State's going to be off a big home game against Michigan, whiteout situation, fired up, A-plus effort. Tough to give an A-plus effort two straight weeks. Then they've got to travel on the road and face Ohio State, and Ohio State – fresh off a bye. Tremendous situation for Ohio State. But I'll say this. When I was writing an ESPN article, which will be hitting ESPN Insider in the next day or so, and I was talking about Penn State's strengths and weaknesses, I got to the weakness part, and they really don't have any. I've been talking to Coach Franklin for the last 4 years, and the first year I talked to him, they were a depth-shy team and barely went one deep with talented players, and that offensive line was just a disaster. This year, they go three or four deep at a lot of positions. The offensive line is actually a strength. They've got Trace McSorley, Saquon Barkley. Really no weaknesses on this Penn State team. So they're going to give Ohio State a test, but the situation greatly favors the Buckeyes.
You cover and know every conference inside and out. Where would you say the Big Ten ranks this season?
I'm going to put the Big Ten up there at the start of the season at number three behind the ACC and the SEC. But as we saw last year, it's such a fluid situation. I think if you took a vote after the regular season, the Big Ten would have been voted number one. Prior to the season would have been the SEC, and the ACC came out and won it. So a lot has to do with how you do in the bowl games, non-conference play. But I think right now, I love this talent of the Big Ten at the top. You look at they've got four top ten teams coming into the season, but their weakness is probably at the bottom of the conference. You look at a team like Rutgers, who was highly non-competitive last year. Illinois, I think, is still going to be a non-competitive team this year. Purdue probably won't get back to a bowl game. You go to the bottom of the SEC, for example. In the SEC East, you have Vanderbilt at the bottom of the East. They're a bowl team from last year. And on the bottom of the West, you're talking about either Mississippi State or Mississippi, two bowl-caliber teams. So I think the bottom of the conference gives the SEC the slight edge heading into the season.
Let's move from the Big Ten to the Big 12. It's going to be very interesting to see a Big 12 season without Bob Stoops on the sideline in Norman. Who's your favorite there?
You know, in the magazine, I went with Oklahoma, and I'm going to stick with them, even though Stoops stepped aside. And I like the timing of Bob Stoops' departure, because generally when you get a first-year head coach, he's got to come in, learn the, you know, the players have to learn his systems. He has to learn the players' strengths and weaknesses. Well, that's not a problem, because Lincoln Riley's been there, defensive coordinator. Mike Stoops has been there. Now, the fact that Stoops got him through spring practice, that means Riley didn't have to try to figure out what to do in spring, how to prepare a team for the season. Bob Stoops took care of all that. He steps out. He's got both coordinators still there, a lot of talent, best offensive line in the country, Baker Mayfield at quarterback. I think their defense will be one of the most improved units in the country. A lot of talent on that side of the ball, underachieved last year. I think they'll play better this year. So I'm still going with Oklahoma, but I think it's a five-team race. I would include Oklahoma State there. Oklahoma State, of course, has got the triplets back this year on quarterback Mason Randolph, running back Justice Hill, and then wide receiver James Washington. You've got TCU and Gary Patterson coming off a losing season. The last two times he's done that, he's had double-digit wins. I think Tom Herman takes over a tremendous amount of talent at Texas and always gets his teams to overachieve. He's got six games against ranked teams while at Houston, and he won all six. And then let's not forget about crafty Bill Snyder at Kansas State. In fact, last year he had 135 starts by underclassmen, the most ever for him there. This guy always relies on JUCOs. He also has got back 14 returning starters, the most since he had it since 2012, a year they climbed to number two in the polls before Colin Klein got injured. He's got a veteran quarterback, an outstanding team overall. At K-State's got a shot as well, so it should be a great year in the Big 12.
We've got a lot of Iowa State fans here in this part of the state. Matt Campbell entering year number two with the Cyclones. Do you see them taking a big step forward this year?
I do. I almost put them on the most improved list. To make the most improved list, that means you're coming off a losing season. I expect you to get to a bowl, and they nearly got to that point. And it wouldn't surprise me if they did actually get to a bowl this year. You know, a great move at quarterback. Jacob Park took over at the end of last year. He's a quality QB, one of the top quarterbacks out of high school, and last year had a good season. Joel Lanning, the land ram, moves to linebacker, where I think he'll be very effective. They'll also have some packages for him on offense. They've got David Montgomery and Mike Warren at the running back spot, Alan Lazard at the receiver spot. The question mark on offense is offensive line, but generally Matt Campbell does well with inexperienced offensive line, so I don't think that'll be a major problem. Defensively, there's talent there. Not an overwhelming defense, but an improved defense. You look at their schedule this year, I think how they fare early on, Northern Iowa, Iowa, Akron. If they can win all three of those, and the Iowa one, of course, the toughest one, the one that'll be an underdog in, even at home, they might be able to pull off enough games, but I think they'll fall just short, but an improved team.
Great stuff as always, Phil. Magazine, very hard to find, sold out on newsstands. You can still get it online, though, correct?
Yeah, you can still try it at some new stands across the country, Walmart, Walgreens, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Target, CVS, Publix, places like that. Or you can go to philsteele.com. We got a brand new redesigned site. It's philsteele, S-T-E-E-L-E.com. You can order the magazine there or call the offices direct at 866-918-7711. That's 866-918-7711. 3 to 4 times the amount of information any other college football preview out there.
You might be underselling it a little bit there. One of my favorite chats every year. Phil Steele, thanks for the time.
Hey, a lot of fun as always, Todd. Have a great night.
You too. Phil Steele joining us on the Todd Bromelkamp Show. We're going to take a quick break. Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you when we return after this.
Iowa Hawkeye fans, this is Hayden Fry reminding you about this year's Fry Fest. Let's celebrate all that is Hawkeye together in Colville on the Friday of Labor Day weekend. Join Hawkeye fans and former athletes for this festive day-long black and gold celebration. See FryFest.com and join at Fry Fest in Colville on Friday of Labor Day weekend.
Presented by Midwest One Bank, Friday, September 1st.
Go Hawks!
This Saturday, join Cargill and the Colonels for a special night for Special Olympics Iowa. During the game, browse the huge silent auction on the concourse to benefit Special Olympics Iowa. The gates open at 5:30, and bidding will run throughout the game on Iowa and Iowa State merchandise and tickets, spa packages, restaurant gift certificates, and other local items and sports memorabilia. Following the game, enjoy fireworks sponsored by Special Olympics. Visit Colonels.com for more information or to order tickets.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
5:22, welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show, coming your way until 7 o'clock tonight with special guest host Rob Howe at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Truck Boulevard. Stop on in. Happy hour underway, started at 3 o'clock, runs until 7, $2.50 domestic bottles and $2 domestic pints. As we mentioned, caught up with Phil Steele earlier today in the studios in Cedar Rapids. He's not high on Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines this year. Any other Big Ten teams that you look at preseason that you think maybe would be a good time to sell high on?
That's a good question. I wonder, I've doubted them before in both sports, basketball and football, and they seem to rise to the occasion. I know Wisconsin has an easy schedule. They lost a key member of their defense.
Losing Cicci is a major blow. That'd be like losing Josie Jewell for Iowa.
It's a huge blow, and I know they have other talented players there that can fill in, but that's still a huge step back. I just don't know if they're going to have as easy a season as people expect based on their schedule. I could see them letting other teams, or at least other teams being in that. I think that I really think that the Big Ten West is going to be a wild race this year, because I think Northwestern is better. We don't know what we're going to get with Iowa and Nebraska, but and our boy P.J. Fleck. But I think there are a lot of teams that could get in the mix there.
Yeah, and, you know, I made that point. Minnesota has a new coach, but that's not your typical taking over a program that's on the – they won 9 games last year.
And they have 2 quarterbacks.
And they have 2 quarterbacks, which, as any expert will tell you, is better than having no quarterbacks. Although the old saying goes, when you've got you think you've got 2 quarterbacks, you probably don't have any at all. We'll talk a little bit more Big Ten football coming up, I know, on Love It or Leave It in hour number 3. Jack Dom is going to be with us shortly for his weekly segment, Touching All Bases. There was a little good news out of Ames earlier today. Matt Campbell says that Camilo Tangamoa is going to be on campus probably no later than next Wednesday. Classes are scheduled to start in Iowa City and Ames on Monday. This is a guy, 80 tackles last year, JUCO transfer, I think a top 30 JUCO player according to 24/7 Sports, and a guy that Iowa State fans thought was going to be able to come in and make an instant impact, and that may still be the case, but it's probably going to be a couple weeks into the season before he's able to do that on the field. There's no way a guy shows up in late August, right as school starts, and is able to work himself into shape where he's able to get on the field right away, is there?
I wouldn't think so, but looking at their defensive tackle position last year, they may need to put him in there. Their defensive line and offensive lines were such handicaps last year. But you're right. I think it's going to take him a little bit of time. I'm interested to see how Matt Quarles adapts. And, you know, he just got into practice this week. It's interesting when you have guys like that are coming in from other colleges, how quickly they can acclimate themselves.
And with Quarles, the transfer out of New Mexico, a complete wild card. At least with James Butler, you know what you're getting because we saw him rush for 1,300 yards at Nevada last year. Quarles was miscast in that triple option system that Bob Davey runs out at New Mexico, where they don't necessarily utilize the receivers at all except when they absolutely need to. I think he's a true wild card there for Iowa. Now the question is, how quickly can he get caught up to speed and get on the field? Because he just recently, I think, got into pads. When he first got into Iowa City, they didn't have him in pads yet. But as we talked earlier with the wide receivers, Matt Vandenberg needs to stay healthy. Quarles, I think, needs to contribute somewhat. And then some of the freshmen are probably going to have to step up early on in the season as well and maybe grab a little playing time.
Yeah, and Kelton Copeland was he was pretty open about it on media day. He said, you know, a couple of these guys are going to have to help us out. I actually think three of them will play. I think maybe Henry Marquez is the one that redshirts because I just think he has a little bit he's a multi-sport athlete, good baseball player. I think he needs a little bit more time to develop. But I think Max Cooper, Brandon Smith, and Amir Smith-Marset probably, and just looking at them at Kids Day, they seem to be factors already into the offense. And I think Nick Easley, who was banged up a little bit in camp, he's another guy that I think they'll rely on. He came in here and hit the ground running out of Iowa Western. So there are pieces there. They're just outside of Vandenberg. They're just all unknown. We just don't know what they have.
This reminds me a little bit of, I think, was it 2007, 2008? When was Dominique Douglas?
He was 06.
06, 07, somewhere in that. When, you know, he played as a true freshman, and unfortunately his career was derailed by some off-field issues. But Kirk Ferentz is not immune to playing young wide receivers if they're talented enough. And I think this year is going to be a mix of guys are talented enough, but it's also going to be out of necessity to get those. And I'm with you. I'm interested in seeing what exactly they do with all of these tight ends, this glut of tight ends that they have on the depth chart, because listing two of them on the depth chart sort of gives you a little bit of insight. And Brian Ferentz, I think people are connecting the dots. Well, he came from New England, and nobody used two tight ends better than Bill Belichick, and maybe he's going to bring a little – well, Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez aren't walking through the door anytime soon. Now, it's probably a good thing for a number of reasons in Iowa City, but that being said, two tight ends don't necessarily equate to the success that they had in New England because of who the personnel was. But
they also had Tom Brady.
They also had Tom Brady, too, but Noah Fant, Hockenson is a guy who I think is going to be message board material early on in the season. I think you just sort of get the sense that there's some buzz behind him, his name appearing on the depth chart. And let's not sleep on Peter Pekar either.
Sean Beyer from Cedar Rapids Kennedy is. I think if there wasn't so much depth, he would be a guy they're talking about more. He's looked good in the open practices we've seen.
Can you imagine if Oliver Martin would have committed to the Hawkeyes? Yeah. Like people would be talking about him and a Heisman Trophy candidacy right now, probably. Let's go ahead and take a quick timeout here. We'll send it back to Kyle in the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. He's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
The Iowa wrestling program secured a transfer from former Cyclone Pat Downey today. He's an All-American who earned an 18-4 record in his 2 years in Ames, but was dismissed from the program in February. Downey has to finish his degree at Iowa State before he can compete for Iowa, and he plans to do so with online classes while competing in freestyle tournaments. High school football in the area got started last night with a couple of Week 0 games. Lone Tree beat Central City 26-18, and HLV beat Waco 67-20. There are more games tonight, including Springville and West Central. Recently promoted former Colonel Clark Beaker was named a Midwest League postseason All-Star today, making the team as one of two right-handed starters. The Colonels also made a roster move yesterday, activating third baseman Travis Blankenhorn off the 7-day DL, but also placing infielder Omaris Minier on the 7-day DL. They also beat the Burlington Bees 8-0 in the series finale. Royce Lewis was 2-for-5 with an RBI. Aaron Whitefield was 3-for-5 with 3 RBIs. They're back home tonight beginning a 4-game series with the Beloit Snappers. It's going to be Anthony Marzi on the hill delivering the first pitch at 6:35. We've got the Twins for you tonight. They split a doubleheader with the Indians yesterday and are set to begin a 3-game series with the D-backs tonight. They'll have Irvin Santana on the hill starting at 7:10, and you can hear it after our show on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
Interesting series for the Twins as they try to keep pace in the American League wild card hunt, and another former Colonel, Mitch Garver, on the way to join the Twins organization, or the Minnesota Twins, I should say, tonight. Member of the 2014 Colonels, and I knew Mitch fairly well when he was in Cedar Rapids, former New Mexico player, big Steve Alford fan. I didn't hold that against him, but he actually did like Steve Alford when he was there at New Mexico. He'll be making his debut for the Twins tonight in that series against the Diamondbacks, and as Kyle mentioned, it's coming your way on 107.5 FM. We got 106.3 FM, the South Gym here in Iowa City, and 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency, heard all across eastern Iowa. Coming up in just a few minutes on all three of them, you're going to hear Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom touching all bases. Right now, it's the Todd Brollekamp Show. Back with more after this.
SportsCenter is brought to you by Bloomsbury Farm. Hold your corporate or group get-together at Bloomsbury Farm. They're continually evolving with new experiences. Start planning your event now at bloomsburyfarm.com.
Bloomsbury Farm is a breath of fresh air for any event. It's where groups gather and teams get stronger. Bloomsbury Farm is continually evolving with new experiences, so it's a natural for your corporate, family, or friend get-together. From festive party barns and cozy wine tastings to their exhilarating dual zip line and team-building events, their exceptional staff will help you plan every detail. Friendship grows down on the farm. Bloomsbury Farm, just a short drive to Atkins. Start planning your event at bloomsburyfarm.com.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Left-hander John Lester of the Cubs goes on the DL today with shoulder fatigue and a tight left lat muscle. Another lefty, Mike Montgomery, will take Lester's spot in the rotation. Today, the Cubs beat the Blue Jays 7-4. Jake Arrieta gets his 13th win of the year. Penn State coach James Franklin will now be one of the 5 highest-paid coaches in college football. He gets a 6-year extension worth more than $34 million. He'll average about $5.7 million per season. Georgia Tech running back Dedrick Mills has kicked off the team for a violation of athletic department rules. Former Vanderbilt football player Brandon Banks will spend 15 years in jail for his involvement in the 2013 gang rape of an unconscious female student. Falcons wideout Julio Jones won't play Sunday against the Steelers. He continues his recovery from foot surgery. ESPN's Diana Rossini reports Panthers quarterback Cam Newton will miss tomorrow's preseason game with the Titans. Golf at the Wyndham Championship, Ryan Armour and Webb Simpson tied for the lead at 13 under par.
Brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, get to JCPenney today for Levi's lowest prices of the season. Find select styles like Levi's 514 Straight Fit for $39.99 and 511 Slim Fit for $41.99. Deals like this won't last long. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
The Ford Summer Sales event is in full swing.
All right, man. 7 ballparks in 7 days. Here we go.
I've got my maps.
You don't need them. Huh? I got a nav system. See, you could even pinch to zoom. Look at it.
And with available Sync 3 and voice-activated navigation, Ford Fusion has the tech to get you there and back.
Okay, you're holding that map upside down, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I thought Indiana looked, strange.
Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, during the Ford Summer Sales event. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months on select Fusion, Escape, Edge, and Explorer models. Plus, get $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Offer ends August 22nd. Best-selling based on current year 2016 sales. Don't drive while distracted. Use voice-operated systems when possible. Don't use handheld devices while driving. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month per $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after new retail delivery. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take delivery from dealer stock by August 22nd, 2017.
Well, Greeny, we're halfway through another baseball season, and we're really seeing some players who stand out as winners.
Kind of like business travelers who win at business by staying at La Quinta Inns and Suites.
That's because you can put your La Quinta Returns loyalty points to work on the spot with instant free nights.
Just drive up with no reservation and instantly redeem points for a free night that same night simply by using the La Quinta app.
It's like hitting a grand slam.
With an app instead of a bat.
Well played.
Prepare to win at business by learning more about instant free nights and check out the summer rates at LQ.com.
Got a paint project you haven't started? Now's the time to begin. The Home Depot has Behr Premium Plus interior paint starting at just $23.97. It's a paint and primer in one, so you're not covering the same wall over and over. You paint it, then move on to the next one. We're pouring more into paint with unbeatable prices on Behr Premium Plus interior paint, now starting at just $23.97. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
5:36, it's the halfway point of the Todd Brownell Camp Show, coming your way from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City on 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in as a guest host tonight as Alex is on vacation this evening. He'll rejoin us on Monday. Somebody could win mega dollars over the weekend, the Powerball, up to $535 million on Saturday's drawing, which is the, I believe, the fifth largest Powerball drawing that they have ever had. And we've got your chance to maybe win a little bit of that if you join us here at the Coach's Corner tonight. One of our prizes is a very nice prize pack courtesy of the Iowa Lottery. And it includes some free plays for games such as Powerball. So Derek will hook you up with a raffle ticket if you make your way in the door. 749 Mormon Truck Boulevard, happy hour going until 7 o'clock tonight. $2.50 domestic bottles and $2 domestic pints. Love it or leave it on the way to kick off hour number three. But a Friday staple, we chat Major League Baseball with Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, joining us on the phone today rather than in person. Jack, I've got Rob Howe from Hawkeye Nation with me today. And did you get a chance to get caught up on the Cubs news with John Lester going on the disabled list today?
Yes, I'm actually in Chicago right now, so I've been hearing a lot of talk about it. It's a tough break. I think it sounds pretty positive. At least the Cubs are putting a positive spin on where they feel like it's more fatigue, lack of arm strength, but there was definitely something wrong. He's thrown a lot of innings, throwing 7 months in a row the last few years with, between being in the World Series, the playoff runs. So there's definitely a reason for fatigue, and hopefully that's all it is. It's always a little disconcerting when you hear shoulder and lat issues. Sometimes that could lead to something else, but I think overall it's pretty positive. Sounds like he's only supposed to miss two starts. It'll probably all depend on how he's feeling. Grimm going down doesn't help. He's been struggling a little bit. I keep going back to, the bullpen will be definitely hindered by, because I think Montgomery is a perfect fit in that bullpen to be a long guy and a left-handed pitcher with that big breaking ball. Him going into the starting rotation will definitely hurt that bullpen. But I think overall it's a positive news that there is no structural damage. How upfront are they in the press releases? You really never know.
Jack, could you talk a little bit about those two injuries? What is shoulder fatigue, and how does a guy recover from that? I would imagine there's varying degrees of that, and similar with the lat.
You know what? Sometimes you call it dead arm, where it just, your arm, the muscles, you need time to be able to recuperate. The typical dead arm that you hear about is at the beginning of the year when you're trying to elevate your pitch count and your arm just doesn't bounce back. The same thing will happen over time, where you've just lost some arm strength and going out and throwing every fifth day, throwing 100 pitches, you get fatigued. So sometimes you need to take a little bit of a break. The original injury that I heard about was soreness in the lat. And that gets a little concerning because the lat will connect up by the rotator cuff. And you never want to have that rotator cuff injury because that typically will take a little longer to, even if it's just inflammation in the rotator cuff. So really, where in the lat is it? Right now, they didn't talk about the lat. They talked more about arm fatigue. Now, I did hear John Lester had talked to somebody off the air that he had had some fatigue over the last few games. However, his velocity really came down. So really, it's more of a wear and tear. A good example might be somebody that lifts weights and they're constantly doing the same thing over and over and over. And sometimes you've got to do a different routine and change it up because your body just isn't going to get any stronger. And you've got to change your routine. This will be a change of routine for John Lester and hopefully be able to get some arm strength back. He'll do a lot of rehab on it, no throwing for about a week, and then he'll start to throw again.
Our weekly segment with Jack Dom, touching all bases. While we're on the subject of pitching injuries, how about a elbow impingement? That's what Adam Wainwright's going on the disabled list with the St. Louis Cardinals. What's the concern there and details on that particular injury?
You know, there's always concern whenever you hear impingement, you know, it's a pinching or something. You know, sometimes it could be as simple as something rubbing over another and causing some inflammation. You know, it's usually when I hear impingement, it's usually a shoulder impingement. I have not heard very often an elbow impingement. So I'm not very familiar with that injury. I had a shoulder impingement. A lot of people get that where it's almost like you have a tendon rolling over and it catches and gets inflammation in it where you want it to kind of subside a little bit. So anytime there's an elbow issue, though, especially with the guy that throws the big overhand curveball like Wainwright does, it's definitely a concern. You know, it's kind of like, Todd, we've talked before, with the forearm injuries are typically the start of Tommy John surgery. I have not heard too much about the elbow impingement, but I know it is a concern whenever you got a big guy who throws an overhand breaking ball straight over the top. It's a lot of wear and tear on that elbow.
Giancarlo Stanton cleared waivers, making him available for trade. Is there a way, or what are the chances that he gets dealt at this point?
You know, it's going to have to be somebody that's willing to take a chance, somebody that's got some good prospects. You know, with the sale of the Marlins, maybe they're going to try to get rid of some salary. But I know this, the Florida Marlins are probably going to need to get quite a bit back in return. Even though there's a positive of getting him off the book as far as payroll, you're talking about one of the premier power hitters. Well, I should say the premier power hitter in baseball right now. You know, if there's a GM out there that feels like he needs to make a big splash, we talked just last week about the St. Louis Cardinals being a team that hasn't gone out and made those trades that they used to make back when they were close to making a run, where they would go out and get a Mark McGwire, you know, a Jack Clark or Will Clark or somebody to help them get pushed over the top. The biggest difference about this is the length of the contract. And having that much money tied up in one guy for that long of a time is a little bit concerning. However, you know, Stanton is a very young guy. And really, in a couple of years, it might not be a bad contract because, you know, everybody else, you look at what everyone else is going to be signing for. So I think it's probably only about a 30% chance of moving him. But if you're a GM that's trying to make a name for yourself or a guy that, you know, is going to try to make a move to get you over the top, not only for this year, but future years, it could happen. I think the Cardinals would be somebody that would be interesting.
Stanton and the Marlins have new owners, including Derek Jeter, and that's a franchise mm-hmm. that under Jeffrey Loria's watch has had its fair share of fire sales. Is it almost in the best interest of Jeter's group to hang on to Stanton, at least in the short term, because you've got a really alienated fan base there, and the last thing that you want is for your first major move to be to get rid of the star player, right?
I think without a doubt. I mean, you don't want to do anything to the face of the organization right now. You would have to really get something that you feel like is going to be a difference maker for your organization over the next 5 to 6 years by trading a guy like Stanton. He's a special player. He's young. He's loved in the community. He does everything right. And so, you know, I guarantee you they wouldn't want to be their first order of business to get rid of him. There's other ways to get rid of payroll, but heck, you know what, when you've got a young guy like that, how many guys are looking for a power guy in the middle of their order like him? A ton of teams, you've got him. I would think they'd wait and try to build around him compared to getting rid of him. They would have to get a ton of prospects, and I'm not too sure how many teams could actually give them enough prospects in order to make the move. I think the move would wait, but there's an outside chance it could happen.
Houston got off to such a good start this year and have had some injuries with Correa and McCullers, and not knowing what McCullers, you know, what his timetable is to get back. It seems like the Dodgers are the odds-on favorite in the National League. The American League seems much more, I don't know if wide open's the right word. Is Houston still the best team, or would you go in a different direction? Is it Cleveland coming on now? What would you say?
You know, I love what Cleveland's doing. They're just continuing to get better and better and play really good baseball. You know, they've made some moves that have made them better. Houston, you know, they're still sitting in a good spot. I would still put Houston. I think they might be 3-7 in their last 10 games. They're not quite playing as well, but they still got a big lead. That's the team as they're able to get healthy. You know, one of the things is they're not going to have to rush anybody back. And Correa would be back. Need to get that pitching all healthy. But I would still put Houston there. Now, here's the other thing. Cleveland's getting Miller off the DL, off the disabled list. He's been out with the knee injury, so all of a sudden you got Miller coming back. Cleveland's just hanging around where they're going to be pretty tough. Boston, you know, is playing well. They got another big series this weekend against I believe they play the Yankees, if I'm not mistaken, this weekend in Fenway. So I would still give the nod to the Astros, even though they've had a tough, you know, 2 weeks with some injuries. I still like what they're doing, but I think you hit it on the head with Cleveland. I think they're a much better team than they were a year ago when they made it to the World Series. So it's going to be interesting watching what happens. And even the wild card race in the American League, everybody's right there. If you're around 500, you got a chance to still make it into that wild card. So it's going to be a fun couple of months here as we watch the end of the season here.
You mentioned the Yankees, Jack. Has your opinion of Aaron Judge changed at all over the last couple of weeks? He's really struggled post All-Star break, striking out at least once in every game for an entire month plus, but he still has that tremendous power.
Yeah, you know what? He's still hitting some home runs. It's not nearly at the pace he was. So it's definitely a concern. Again, you've got to be able to make adjustments. We've talked about him a little bit. He's a little more over-anxious. He's cheating on some pitches. You know what happens is you just don't see the ball as well. And I think one way I can talk about it, when a guy is seeing the ball well, he's got tremendous balance. He's not opening up the front hip early. And I always talked to Todd, I think you remember Scott Stachowiak, who was the player of the year, played for the Twins, player of the year when I was at Creighton in the country. I could tell when Scott was feeling good. When he wasn't, I would always kind of compare him to when you walk into a dark room and you don't know what's in there. You walk real slow and you just kind of reach in front of you so you don't bump into anything. When you're not seeing the ball well, you become timid. And it's almost like walking in a dark room where you go in there slower and you're feeling for everything. That's what Aaron Judge looks like to me right now. So he just needs to try to lay off some pitches, hunt the fastball. He's swinging and missing more. He's swinging at sliders out of the zone at a much higher clip than he did early in the year. It's just not seeing the baseball. and you start panicking a little bit. So that's part of the transition that you're going to make. I don't think it's because of the home run challenge. I still hear people talking about he put himself in the slump, you know, going through the home run challenge. But he'll make the adjustment. He made the adjustment. It'll take a little time, but he'll be back. And I know this. I still wouldn't be comfortable if I was a pitcher with Aaron Judge coming up in a key situation because he's a very, very talented hitter.
Who do you think the Dodgers would prefer in that divisional series, Jack? Arizona or Colorado?
You know, I would say Arizona just because Colorado is such a different place to pitch. You know, you never know what's going to happen in Colorado. You know, the Dodgers are built to win in that type of environment. They've got some athletic outfielders also to cover the ground. But, you know, it's just such a different environment. You never know how the pitchers are going to react. I haven't broke down the starting rotation for the Dodgers to see how they pitch in Colorado. But, you know, and right now, you know, 2 weeks ago I thought Arizona looked tremendous, and they've struggled a little bit here lately. But if I was the Dodgers, you know, I'd probably rather see Arizona just so we wouldn't have to go to Colorado and pitch in a totally different environment than what you're acclimated to playing in.
Jack, we appreciate it as always. I know last week you were showing me pictures of the turf getting set down at the Mount Mercy facility. Did that get all finished up yet?
You know what? All the turf is down. In fact, I just sent you a picture of the turf under the lights. We have the Musco lighting. That's all done, so the lights have been on. It's still going to be a couple weeks before we're able to get on the art field because they have to do all the little taking care of the batter's boxes, putting the Mustang in. But we're probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks from getting on that facility. We're going to be softball is going to be able to get on theirs, and soccer will be on their field pretty soon. So it's an exciting time up at Mount Mercy School. Kids are checking in tomorrow. School starts on Wednesday. I would tell people to drive by and take a peek at it. We'll be out there Tuesday night actually testing the lights to make sure everything's down. And what a neat environment when you see the lights on in all three complexes, how it's really changed that area.
And are you still looking for people for your fall league, or is that closed now?
You know what? We're still looking. Today's the last day to sign up for for the youth fall league. We've got over 20 teams, believe it or not. We're going to have over 1,000 kids in our fall league between the youth, the U-triple-A one with Cedar Rapids Park and Rec, and then our high school league. So we're going to be busy this fall, not only getting better on the field, but also trying to help kids in Eastern Iowa get better.
All right, Jack, we appreciate it as always. We'll touch base with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom and his weekly segment, Touching All Bases. More baseball talk to come on the way, as well as some football discussion and a whole lot more as we take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. But first, as we head to break, we need caller number 6 right now, 319-366-1600. You have just won yourself a pair of tickets to see Hairball at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena this November. Hairball will not let the 80s and 80s rock die easily. It's a great show. Tickets on sale now, Ticketmaster.com, or in the box office at the U.S. Cellular Center and the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. But if you're caller number 6, you don't need to buy them because you just won them. 366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is and get a big board update when we return. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City.
Tomorrow, you, your family, and friends can all pitch in to make Cedar Rapids even more beautiful during the City of Cedar Rapids One Bag Challenge event. Just meet at the McGrath Amphitheater at 1:30. When you get there, you'll pick up your kit, divide into groups, and head around town to spiff things up. The first 50 people to pick up a kit get a free mini cooling towel. There'll be snacks and a group photo of all you do-gooders, too. This is a great way to show your kids how to make a positive impact on the community. Be part of the One Bag Challenge tomorrow. Get details at cleanupcr.com.
Don't put off your paving project any longer. Cooler weather will be here sooner than you think. Pate Asphalt handles commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt.
See them at PateAsphalt.com.
In case you haven't been to a Twins game lately, here's what you missed. Jose, can you see the players take the field? Twins get a hit and a run and another. And whoa, doggy, another five in the fifth. Oh, cute, it's the kiss cam. A jumbo screen proposal in the crowd goes, aw. Bullseye wins the mascot race. Peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back to the action. It's Buxton on one. Dozier with a single. Can he do it? Will he make it? Holy smokes. Buxton scores from first. That's 30.6 feet per second for all you stat geeks. Twins get the win and cue the standing ovation because boom goes the dynamite. Stop missing out. Change up your summer with tickets at twinsbaseball.com.
Welcome back. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Rob Howe coming to you from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire continuing on until 7 o'clock tonight. We invite you to stop on in. Derek is going to be getting ready to draw for some great prizes coming up here shortly. Your chance to win with our friends from the Iowa Lottery. Remember, Powerball tomorrow, $535 million. Dollars. The cash prize, if you took that lump sum, more than $340 million. How about that? Let's send it back to the studio. Kyle on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids has your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa wrestling program secured a transfer from Cyclone Pat Downey today. He's an All-American who earned an 18-4 record in his 2 years in Ames, but was dismissed from the program in February. Downey has to finish his degree at Iowa State before he can compete for Iowa, and he plans to do so with online classes while competing in freestyle tournaments. High school football in the area got started last night with a couple of Week 0 games. Lone Tree beat Central City 26-18, and HLV beat Waco 67-20. There are more games tonight, including Springville and West Central. Recently promoted former Colonel Clark Beaker was named a Midwest League postseason All-Star today, making the team as one of two right-handed starters. The Colonels made a roster move yesterday as well, activating third baseman Travis Blankenhorn off the 7-day DL, but also placing infielder Amoris Minier on the 7-day DL. They also beat the Burlington Bees 8-0 in the series finale. Royce Lewis was 2-for-5 with an RBI. Aaron Whitefield was also 3-for-5 with 3 RBI. They're back home tonight, beginning a 4-game series with the Beloit Snappers. It's going to be Anthony Marzi on the hill delivering the first pitch at 6:35. We do have the Twins for you tonight. They split a doubleheader with the Indians yesterday and are set to begin a 3-game series with the Diamondbacks. They'll have Irvin Santana taking on Zach Godley. That's going to start at 7:10, and you can hear it after our show on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
Congratulations, Sam in Coralville, our winner of the tickets to see Hairball at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Again, that concert coming up in November. Love It or Leave It kicks off hour number three next.
The Ford summer sales event is in full swing.
How does one tiny little human need all this stuff? Stroller, umbrella, buckets, shovels, blanket, changing table, jumpy gym, bouncy seat.
Okay, sweetie, can you open the back?
Sure. I'm not holding anything with my foot.
Hands-free foot-activated liftgate, optional on the 2017 Ford Escape, lets you load up without putting anything down.
Wait, isn't the jumpy gym and the bouncy seat the same thing?
Totally different.
Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, during the Ford summer sales event. Hurry and get our hottest offers like 0% APR financing for 72 months.